great. I have literally no reason to have this open. There's no legitimate reason this is up right now.
Okay, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, and I'm here with my partners, John Dabari.
Hello, hello.
At Dabari22, and Shane Manila.
Hey, so I got a second screen, and I just realized I can download my Chrome bookmarks to Microsoft Edge. So I'm living crazy. I got Microsoft Edge over here to my right, and I got Chrome on my left, and I'm feeling blessed.
It's pretty funny because, you know, John, we've been doing this for 68 episodes now, you know, and then isn't this the most excited you've ever seen Shane?
He's quite a ball of excitement, energy. Well,
he has a second monitor, so he's going crazy now.
Look, I'm trying to make this more professional, and every professional podcaster that we've dealt with has had at least two monitors, so now I'm feeling legit.
Yeah, except we're all looking at him on the camera, and we just get to see the side of his face all day because he doesn't have to move the camera.
I haven't figured out how to change the cameras around, so if anyone wants to DM me, shoot, gotta do that.
All right, cool. So, hey, we have some news this week, and our news obviously is brought to us by RoadAssurance.com. Get 20% off by using Dynasty Trades HQ, all in caps. But what was the big news that you wanted to talk about, Shane?
I mean, I don't know if it's big news, but we've done how many episodes?
68.
Okay. So we've done actually 67 episodes because this is episode 68. And in roughly, I'm going to say 64 of them, I've talked about the fact that Marcus Mariota couldn't feel his hand for most of last year when people were trashing him and Corey Davis.
Correct.
So one of our patrons actually shared a news report with us talking about Marcus Mariota's injuries from last year. So here you go. So just to start it off, he had a ulnar nerve issue. And just in case there's people out there kind of like Sipes that don't know what an ulnar nerve is, it's a real thing, first of all.
I thought he left off a continent.
Continent or continent? Yeah, there's not a continent in words. That's not how that works. We're in bad shape when I'm the smart one. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. John, help me out.
So it's a nerve in your elbow. So, you know, he missed the first two games because he had ulnar nerve damage. Then he also had a significant tear in his plantar fascia, which is also a real thing, and it's located in your foot, Michael.
Yeah, that I have in real life, so I understand that.
Yeah, that's in your heel.
I know.
And then it finally tore all the way in week 16, which actually apparently is a good thing from what the article said, and the article was from, I don't know, I don't feel like attributing it right now. And then also he dealt with a strained oblique, a broken rib, and a sprained AC joint.
That's a lot of shit.
Right? So, one, is it because of his play style, do you think? Is he always just going to get his ass kicked like that? Well, maybe not to that extent.
I don't recall him taking off running tons. You know what I mean? Where, like, a lot of the other guys that do run, like Russell Wilson comes to mind, he knows how to avoid hits. But a lot of the other guys that run like Cam and get smashed repeatedly, you could see where it's a thing. But I don't even recall him getting a lot of big hits. And kind of to the story you referenced, it started, what did you say, he got stepped on, I believe?
Yeah, well, so someone it's stepped not even, on his elbow.
Yeah, so it's not even like a normal, normal injury. So, I your playing style may have something to do with it, but not when you're getting stepped on. And that was the lingering one that lasted all season.
So you think he's worth buying low then? And Corey Davis is going to be fine? Is that what you're telling me?
I hope so. I've got a lot of Corey Davis, and where I have Mariota, I've tried to move him, and people are just trying to swindle me. So if you have him, you have to hold him. I'm scared just because I don't necessarily trust that coaching staff, but I'm not. Could he be injury prone? Sure. But my guess is he will be healthy this year and put up a decent season with Corey Davis.
Does that give anybody any thought to wanting to grab Ryan Tannehill in some of these leagues?
I tried to get him in a league that quarterbacks are super ridiculously expensive, and the cheapest I could get him is like for a second, which is ridiculous because I'm just trying to handcuff him. But he's worth, if you're a Mariota owner, he's absolutely worth acquiring if the price is fair.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone thinks he sucks, right? Tannehill. Oh, no, Tannehill does suck. Did we draft Tannehill in the DFB?
Not yet, no.
No, well, he's off the board.
So then, no, we didn't.
But I have picked him up in a couple leagues because basically, like, I'm in an auction, and I think he went off the board for $1 and $1,000 budget in a dispersal. So that's about what I'm willing to pay for him because – yeah, that coaching staff doesn't really strike me as a bunch of offensive geniuses. I forget who their offensive coordinator is, the made up tight end coach, right? That's right. We don't even know the guy. He doesn't even have a picture, and there's no stats on a Pro Football Reference form.
If I was a listener to this show and I was like, damn, I have Corey Davis, I'd be scared shitless after listening to the way you guys are talking about the quarterback situation.
No, no. Well, see, look, I like Mariota. I still think Mariota is a very good quarterback. I mean, honestly, last year, he could not feel his arm for most of the year, and apparently that wasn't even the worst of it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, he's walking around with a torn plasher phantias or whatever the hell it's called. And you know what I mean? Like, sprained his AC joint. So his whole arm was just useless. And then he had broken ribs. Like, if he was a boxer, they would have thrown the towel in.
Well, you know, speaking of Tannehill, with him being gone from Miami, Miami signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic down here in Miami. Do you guys like that at all? Either one of you?
I mean, that's my gut reaction, literally. You know, the guy throws a lot of deep balls. How much of that was a product of him, you know, in Monken's system when he was with the Buccaneers? I don't know. So Kenny Stills, I kind of like as a flyer late this year, especially in best ball leagues. But the people, like, I've seen people go out and buy in Devontae Parker. No, thank you. I'm not sold on the talent around him necessarily. So I'm not buying him. If I had him, I'd keep him because what are you going to get for a 97-year-old quarterback?
What about Albert Wilson? I know you like him.
don't get me started.
Shane's cracking up.
He's the most okay wide receiver on that roster.
Well, I think Fitzmagic, Jesus Christ, his name is Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick, he likes to just throw it deep, and that's really not what Wilson does.
Uh-huh.
And I like Wilson. In theory, that would be Kenny Stills, right?
Yes.
So I guess I'm buying on Kenny Stills again. But the best thing about Stills and Wilson, if that's who you actually like, I do like Wilson. I was touting him last year, and it didn't work out due to injury mostly because he was highly efficient and really good when he played. John, just wanted to let you know that. but, you know, I can get probably both of those players cheap. You know, the issue is which one is going to hit week to week. Or maybe, you know, Fitzpatrick will find one guy that's his guy. And I certainly don't think it's Devontae Parker. What's his fifth year now? We're going into his fifth or sixth season? I don't
fifth
even
year.
Know.
Fifth year.
Okay, so at this point, he's shown us what he is, I believe. He's not very good. You could blame it on Adam Gase. You could blame it on Tannehill. You can blame it on whatever you want. But the guy, you know, he had his second season, I believe he had over 700 yards receiving. So there was hope there for him. And then just every season since, he's done nothing but regressed. So I'm not.
Do you buy into this talk around here where it's the Dolphins are tanking for Tua?
Yes.
That's an easy answer, John.
I think they're one of those teams that are doing it the wrong way. I think they're trying to be competitive enough to pick right in the middle of the first round. Not good enough to make the playoffs and win, and not shitty enough to have the, you know, top three pick. You know who I do like though in this system, because they brought, I believe their offensive coordinator was the Patriots wide receivers coach. I don't know his name, but assuming they run a similar system to the Patriots, super cheap if you could get him. I kind of like Kalen Ballage as somebody who could kind of play the James White role. get you a lot of receptions. He's not the world's greatest running back, but you could make a case for him being one of the better receiving backs based on what we saw from him in college.
Yeah, but Kenyon Drake's actually a good receiving back, too. I mean, sure. either of them.
Yeah, I you could buy both. I'm just
– yeah.
I prefer Ballage, and he's probably cheaper.
It's funny, too, because, yeah, you know, in that DFB league that we're all in as the podcast team, Matthew Berry just made a trade today to get Kalen Ballage off of Graham Barfield.
So, what did he give up?
Barry gave up the 1605 and the 1805 for Kalen Ballage and the 20th pick in 2002. So he gave up two picks to get Kalen Ballage and a 20th pick.
Yeah, you know, the more I'm looking at the Dolphins roster, there's four or five pieces off of them that are really cheap that I wouldn't mind getting. I wouldn't mind getting Ballage, Wilson, Kenny Stills. Fitzpatrick is, you know, like my third quarterback in a super flex. And if I can find a decent price for Drake, I would make that move too. But I still think, and I haven't really tried to buy him, I'm thinking he's still going for what, like a late first probably?
Yeah.
I mean, Drake?
Yeah, yeah, people still look at him.
Who would
pay
that?
No?
Whether you'd pay it or not, people are still looking at him or at least trying to get that out of him when they're trying to trade him. What about Gesicki? You know, I know last week you were talking about how you liked him.
Well, yeah, I think everybody likes him, though. So that's kind of one of those where we all try to sound smarter than we really are, where we're like, oh, you know what you should do? You should buy a tight end coming off of a bad rookie season because it takes tight ends years to get good.
It is so
we all do that.
It's so funny.
Like, everyone says that. Like, you know who buy low is? What? Any tight end that came off a bad rookie season. Yes. Yes. Did he have high draft capital? And was he a physical freak? Yeah, by that guy.
It is funny, the narratives that people make up in the Dynasty community, to be a community about players that we think are supposed to be good. You know, speaking of tight ends, Jared Cook signed with New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I got a little too...
Hold on. I just want to say something. We're doing a show, and John and I are looking at the side of Shane's face because he has this second monitor, and I don't know what the hell else he's doing. But every single question, every single thing I bring up, there's always this long pause, which you guys aren't going to hear because I'm going to edit it out. But obviously, Shane is doing 12 other things while we're doing this show.
Just, you know, so I want you to know, like, right now, and this is my life, and this is how it usually goes, and this isn't going to get better with the second screen. So typically I have about 9 windows up, right?
Yes.
And now I have about the same on the one computer. There's like 7. And then I took 2 of those windows and I moved them over to the other monitor. And now I've got like 3 new open windows over there.
Oh my
so
God.
This is basically the greatest thing that I've ever outside of my children. Like, it goes my children, second monitor, marrying my wife.
John, I don't know how we're going to make it through another 68 episodes with him this way, you know?
It's a beautiful thing.
So what
he's found something he loves.
So what I did was ask about Jared Cook. So, John, since Shane's busy, what do you think about Jared Cook?
Actually, I was going to answer, and what I was going to say is, as soon as I saw the signing was, I guess, official at this point, I got a little overzealous and I shouted out like, Jared Cook, tight end 4, which is ridiculous. He's not going to be the fucking tight end 4 next year, but he will be a top 10 tight end, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I've been a long time captain of the Jared Cook hate club, so I've never been a big fan. Obviously, we know what New Orleans has done with Breeze with tight ends in the past there. Even last year with Benjamin Watson had a decent enough year. Cook's probably going to be a tight end 1. I will have no part of it. Not interested. I'll go elsewhere. I'd rather stream complete bums from the bottom of other teams' rosters. I just don't like the guy.
I refuse to stream tight ends, by the way. I'm just not doing it anymore because I think it's a horrible idea, and it presupposes that you, not you as a John, but you as a anyone, you know, myself included, is in the you. We think we can figure out which tight end to stream. And we're wrong because, you know, you look at the list of who had tight end 1 weeks, and some of the guys, you're not even sure if they're real people. Like, there's guys like Matt LaCoste, I think, at one point, Jeff Howerman. Just how are you going to know to stream that fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Not to overly pat myself on the back, I did the streaming series at DFF this year. And I think my streaming tight ends finished top 15, and streaming defense was number two overall.
Cool. If
I tallied every up week? The points. To when I tallied it up at the end of the year.
Okay, look at weeks. Your aggregate. I want to know, what did they do on a weekly basis?
No, if you took the points each week, you would have had a tight end hit on most of them. I had most week. I mean, obviously, when you do it, you're going to shit the bed here and there. I had some zeros in there, but I also had guys that were tight end one, tight end two for the week. And like you said, including the bums. I know I had Huerman in there a couple times. He went off. And Austin Hooper, I know, had a big week when I had him as the tight end.
It's funny with the tight end position. I mean, we've all been doing this so long. Unless you have those one or two or three top tier guys, they're all pretty much the same. So it's hard to even get one that will get you the points that you need. The only time it really takes importance is if you're in a tight end premium league or where you have to start two. That's the hardest one, where you have to start two. And then if you don't even have one to start two, is really hard.
I mean, obviously it's important in the premiums, but it's important in regular leagues too, because if you do hit on someone, that's one place that you're going to have such an advantage in scoring. So say John streams, you know, Jeff Howerman for 8 weeks in a row, you know, he might get what, one or two good weeks out of him, where I'm starting George Kittle and I'm getting 9 weeks.
Well, of course.
And that's more weeks than him. So I'm getting all solid, all eight of those weeks. They're really solid, including, you know, five or six tight end 1 week.
And that's the handful of guys that I was talking about. If you've got one of those handful of guys, they have way more value than some people actually put into them. You know, some people go, oh, it's just a tight end. But yeah, if you've got the one or two or three that are worth having, you hold on to those guys, you know?
I'm thinking it's well worth it to pay up. To me, it's worth the cost for the positional advantage. It's going to give you the scoring. Excuse me, for the scoring advantage it's going to give you, because
I agree.
There's only so many places that you know that you are going to smash in fantasy, you know, certain positions that you need to take advantage of it.
I agree.
And tight ends, that one spot, you can do it.
Well, the other player that we were going to talk about here, David Montgomery, which actually was right before we started recording. JDB and I were getting ready, and then you like started tweeting out about David. So what happened?
Did I?
Yeah. Like the you said you're going to make a cigarette break, and John and I are talking, and I said, hey, Shane's tweeting about David Montgomery.
Yeah, I don't even remember tweeting it out. I think I just have involuntary tweeting disorder.
You don't remember anything. So what are we talking about with David Montgomery?
So David had his pro day, and he did improve upon his 4.63 that he ran at the combine. He ran a 4.57 at his pro day, which sounds great, right, John?
Sounds good to me. 4.5s is good.
Right, but what do you add to hand timed?
I think the rumor for the hand timed pro day numbers is like half of a second, so 0.05. So that 4.57 comes in around 4.62-ish, which is just a hair below his 4.63 from the combine. Don't quote me on that half a second, but it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, because it's laser timed at the combine, whereas it's like Otis is hand timing it at the pro day.
But you know what? How accurate is accurate as they say? Oh, we laser time it. What? How did they screw up? Remember, Andy Isabella's time was off by like 13 seconds or not 13 seconds.
Yeah. I think something they ridiculous. Just, I think that it was still running from the last guy or something. I forget what happened with that, but yeah, that was pretty off.
Yeah. Way off. I don't trust the whole thing. He said, I heard him on, he was on NFL radio getting interviewed, and he said, after his first run, his little whatever track coach that he's been training with was texting him on the side of the combine, like, what happened up there? And he's like, I have no idea. He's like, I thought I ran good.
Did you have a stroke mid 40?
And he looked fast too, so I don't know what that was about.
So does that, I mean, really, does that move the needle at all? Where, I don't know where you had Montgomery anyway, at this point before the NFL draft. Where is he for your running backs?
He's my RB2, I think.
Behind Miles Sanders?
Yes, I shifted a couple people around a little bit. Jacobs is falling for me. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like people thought Montgomery was a burner. He's a guy that has a good all-around game. 4.57 is fine. I mean, it's not like he, you know, went out there and put up a Holyfield-esque number. So that's didn't hurt him, doesn't help him. It's just, you know, it's kind of right where I think people thought he would be.
And what did Holyfield run at his pro day? 4.98 or something?
The shittiest time they had on him, somebody had a 4.89 at his pro day.
That's what it was, 4.89. Yeah.
It's literally unheard of. Like, there's, no running back runs a 4.89 at their pro day ever in history.
There's an offensive lineman that can outrun him, apparently.
Well, the thing is, like we said with the pro day, usually that's at least a half a second in your favor. So assuming that's the case, that could have been a 4.94.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm going to just add another half second to it because they were probably trying to help his score after that horrible combine. There's no way that he ran less than a 5.5 40.
You know, it's funny. Every single week, it gets worse and worse when you talk about these rookies, and it makes me feel way happier that I traded out in most of my leagues of this rookie draft.
No, you're wrong, because Miles Sanders, Curtis Patrick had a great tweet, and just to paraphrase it, it was something along the lines of, you know, Miles Sanders was a five-star recruit. He was one of the top, I think, 20 or so running backs for his class. He just happened to get stuck behind probably the greatest college running back prospect that's ever existed, Saquon Barkley.
Well, I understand that. It's just that there, of every year that we've ever done all this rookie talk, and I mean, what are we, 3 weeks out from the draft? Mm-hmm. It's like every single show we have different players that we're talking about, that now this one's better than that one. And
they're all getting worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're getting worse.
Better because someone else is shittier.
No, you guys are both wrong. Okay, so here's how it goes. And it's pretty simple. In Superflex drafts, it's Kyler Murray, N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown, probably Dwayne Haskins. I get Harmon and Butler's names confused all the time. I don't know why I do that.
Because nobody cares. That's why.
Well, plenty of people care. Yeah, so Butler and the other guy, I just said his name. I'm already forgetting it. Jesus, I'm old. Miles Sanders, he's John and I's number one running back. I believe he's Travis Mays, too.
But he's still falling. I mean, I'm currently writing a thing about kind of where I've seen guys go into tiers in these mock drafts I've been doing. And Sanders is there in the second half of the first, super flex or not. I've been getting him 110, 111, 112. He's the wide receiver class is really pushed ahead because of the narrative that this running back class is terrible. And they were awful at the combine for the most part. So he's just kind of falling back with the group, which is good for people that want him, because I think you're going to be able to get him in the second half of your first round.
Well, and that's part of the point of it. I mean, whether I said it right when I said I'm glad I traded out. I mean, obviously there's some leagues where I do still have picks, but the point is that every week it seems to be changing. The advantage, like you just said, John, is if you like somebody that the other people don't, you are able to get them later in the drafts because everybody has a different story. It's just all over the place. I think more than any other year, it's going to solidify after the draft. I mean, it always does after the draft anyways, but once some of these players get their location of where they're going to be, then maybe some of this talk will settle down.
I think that's more for the running backs, yes, because for immediate production, landing spot matters for the running backs. I don't expect immediate production out of the wide receivers anyway. So unless A.J. Brown were to land in a spot where, you know, there's just not any other receivers and he's going to see 140 targets in his rookie year, or N'Keal Harry is going to land in a spot where he's the de facto one. but like the running backs, there's Damian Harris, there's Rodney Anderson, Justice Hill. There's just a whole group of guys that, yeah, depending on where they land, it's definitely going to draft them in the rookie draft.
So, all right. So before we go forward, we do have to hear from our sponsors, gtbets.eu. But we also wanted to give a shout out to our friend of the show, Ken, who better known as Larry Monkey in our listener league and everything. He had an emergency appendix surgery today. So we're hoping everything went well with your surgery. And
he's a surgeon?
No, he's having surgery. Oh, okay. I do love that in the Patreon chat, everybody's like, dibs on his players. You know, everybody was pretty funny. But we're hoping everything went well with your surgery, Ken, and get better really quick. So,
but I want him to know if he does die, that we are renaming the league in his honor. It will be the Larry Monkey Memorial League.
Okay. But hopefully everything's fine. But here's gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
All right. Well, remember, kids, gambling's good for you. So one other piece of news that I thought was fun.
Oh, yeah. We forgot the Lamar Jackson news.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, not Lamar Miller. And some people keep getting him confused.
Which JDB, yeah, JDB and I had to both mention that he wrote Lamar Miller on the show sheet, but go ahead.
So there is almost about 150% guarantee at some point I'm going to write an article where I mean to speak about Lamar Jackson, and I will say Lamar Miller through the entire article. I will publish it, and everyone will mock me mercifully. So that, or is it mercilessly?
Mercilessly.
Yeah, that. Yeah, so that. That's what they'll do. They'll do that to me. Anyway, so he's down in Florida. And there's one particular aspect of this story that I find fun. But so he's down in Florida with a private QB coach that's helping him throw, work on his throwing.
What did you think of him last year, the little bit we got to see him as a quarterback?
I think the Ravens are ruining him, is basically what I thought. The very first game when they sent him out there and they had him run the ball, what was it, 20 times or whatever it was.
Didn't his second start, wasn't it something like 37, something crazy?
So, yeah, he had 26 rushing attempts in his very first start.
His very first start?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, his very first start. What they did with him is they told the league and they told him what they think of his throwing ability and his acumen as a real quarterback.
I guess so.
And you know what? And I don't want to get too into the psychological bullshit because whatever, you know, man up, deal with it. Real men don't cry, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But this is a kid that all through the draft process was hearing the, you know, the dog whistles about how he needs to change to be a wide receiver. And his coach decides, you know what, your first game out there, I don't think you're good enough to be a real quarterback. I'm just going to run you like a wildcat. And, you know, I think I was really disappointed in how Harbaugh used him last year, because in college he progressed every season and was a better passer, and he ran a pro system in college. And you're telling me he gets to the pros after running a pro system for, what, 3 years, 4 years, that he can't run a pro system in the NFL?
But they obviously think he can, because they got rid of Flacco. And who do they have behind him now on that team? I don't even know. Who's the backup now?
Well, RG3.
You can't go back to Flacco after starting the rookie for, what, 7 weeks to close the year?
I understand that.
All right, Joe, let's get back out there.
Well, but you could. I mean, whatever. People could swallow their pride and do that. I'm just saying they did get rid of him. So you've got RG3 there as the backup. So they must believe that he can carry that team. Or you're going to say that they're just going to go through with it because they want to save face?
I think a lot of these teams will just sink with the ship.
Really?
All right, this is our guy. Let's do it. Look at how many not that I think he's terrible. He's not one of my favorites, but there's a lot of teams that just hang their head on these terrible quarterbacks, and you know, you see the coach get fired 2 years later. So
I guess, yeah,
unheard of.
It's just stupid.
And see, I think Jackson's, I think he could, you know, it's only going to be year two. I'm hoping that we see more games from him next year where there's, you know, I don't know, 30 attempts, 35 passing attempts, and where he runs the ball 6 times. You know, to me, that's what I want to see. I'm happy that he went down to Florida with a quarterback coach. I don't know who the quarterback coach is, so he can at least tell the Ravens, like, hey, you nuts, I'm a quarterback. So let me throw the ball, jerk off.
But what are the weapons? What are the weapons around him? Who is he going to throw it to?
That's the other thing. His fewest attempts when he was playing after he got the starting gig was 11. So he never rushed fewer than 11 times.
Okay.
And then where was the other thing?
And he never exceeded 25 attempts. Passing attempts, I'm sorry.
Okay. So who's he going to throw to now then? Who's there?
Well, so here's the fun part real quick about before we get John back on that. So part of the story, it says, you know, that he's down there working with wide receivers. It didn't name any of them, though.
Because even the guy writing the article doesn't know who he's throwing to.
They have Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews.
You lead with tight ends. Yeah, you lead with tight ends. How funny is that?
Willie Snead's still there, right?
Yep, Willie Snead, Chris Moore, Jaleel Scott, who I actually like, Jordan Lasley, Quincy Adeboyejo, or I think went to Stanford, who I kind of liked as a sleeper guy a couple of years ago.
So wait a second. Yeah. With that list of names, where do you guys have Lamar Jackson in your rankings of quarterbacks?
I wish you could see mine and Shane's faces.
I know. I love it.
Here's the problem. I like Lamar Jackson.
You've always liked him. Really did.
Yeah, and I'm concerned that they're not going to use him like a real quarterback. I mean, he has Mark Ingram now to dump the ball off to. If Kenneth Dixon can stay healthy, if ever, and not suspend it. So that's two big caveats for that scumbag.
Do teams run a 31 offense with three tight ends? Because honestly, no joke, I said it half jokingly, but wouldn't you rather have Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, and Nick Boyle in the lineup with just like Willie Snead and Mark Ingram than Willie Snead with any other of those wide receivers and two or one of those tight ends?
It does sound funny.
Two of those wide receivers are made up names.
Well, you mentioned the tight ends and you mentioned the running back, so that is kind of a bad situation for the quarterback. Yeah,
I mean, they have to go heavy wide receiver in the draft, I think.
Yeah.
Does Ty Montgomery go back to wide receiver if he even stays there?
I don't – he's still a free agent, and I haven't heard anything about him. And he's a player that I liked a few years ago. Another guy, just stay healthy, and he would have been the RB1 in Green Bay. None of us would have even thought about Aaron Jones.
Or Jamal.
That's neither here nor there. I assume they have to go wide receiver heavy in the draft because you can't run literally Willie Snead is their wide receiver one. And I like Willie Snead, but no.
He lost a lot on defense too. As much as you want to go wide receiver, you know, they've got to replace Suggs. You know, they did sign Earl Thomas, but it's not like he's young. They need to get some younger safety.
Let's do it this way. Ranking Lamar, what's his name? Jackson. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Case Keenum?
Oh, well, of course you'd rather have Lamar Jackson now.
Lamar Jackson or Marcus Mariota?
Mariota.
Yeah, I'm going to say Mariota too. Because of
Corey Davis.
Yeah,
right?
And the weapons around him. I mean, you know what is really funny, John, after doing this for as long as we've been doing this with Shane, the fact that you brought up IDP players, I mean, it kind of just swooshed right by because Shane doesn't give two shits about our IDP players.
I don't even mean fantasy. I mean, you know, Shane said they're going to have to address wide receiver in the draft, but they have holes on defense now that they need to address that typically they haven't had to in years because they've had a solid defense. They're getting older on defense, and some of the guys even brought in are old. So they can't just pound wide receiver because they need to address the other side of the ball for the first time in a long time.
That division is going to be really messed up, you know, with the Browns and the Steelers and the Ravens.
I don't think it's going to be messed up. I think the Browns go probably 11-5 or 12-4 and smoke the rest of the
division. Well, when I say messed up, I just mean flipped on its side, you know, compared to what it's been the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So before we go on to the meat of what we were going to talk about, even though we've been talking about for so long, I know you had a trade alert, Shane, right?
Okay, trade alert.
That's the most lackluster trade alert I've ever heard.
So this is a Devy League.
Yeah.
And for any of our listeners that don't know what a Devy League is, it is a developmental league. These are college players that are on your roster.
Which you draft still them think is stupid.
A separate draft. It's pretty cool.
It's not
anywho.
Cool.
So on one side, and let's talk about burying the lead. Let's reverse this trade a little bit. So it's Zach Ertz and Kylan Hill. And I went ahead and checked out the Devy Watch to see where he's ranked overall. He's their 14th ranked overall Devy prospect.
Uh-huh.
And that's the consensus ranking. So I'm sure he might be lower on some, higher on others. You guys know how rankings work when you put them all together in the soup. So Zach Ertz and Kylan Hill.
Yeah.
And this is a non-Superflex league. I have no force in setting these up. Okay. One quarterback league.
Uh-huh.
Devy league.
Okay.
PPR, still PPR.
This is the most all over the place trade alert we've ever had.
It's Zach Ertz and Kylan Hill for Travis Kelce, the 405 in the 2019. That might be a rookie pick or a Devy pick. I have no clue. I don't even ask anymore. And Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, this was all over the place, and everybody knows.
No, let's just start it again. Okay.
No, don't start it over. It's fine.
It'll be clear to people now. So it's Zach Ertz and Kylan Hill for Travis Kelce, Ben Roethlisberger, and the 2019 405 in a Devy depleted draft.
So, John, what do you think? I know my answer right away, but John, what do you think?
I don't know much about him. I know he's, Mississippi State running back, and I think he's a sophomore. So, college running back, we saw with Chubb a couple of years ago, who fortunately has bounced back, but he could blow his knee out the first game of the year for them. So, and who knows if he'll, he goes to the combine, throws up some trash numbers, and then what do you do? So, Ertz and Kelce is a wash. The fourth pick, probably in a rookie draft, I'm assuming, 405. Also, just a dart throw trash pick. So, Big Ben for a running back 2 years from. I probably would rather have the running back in Ertz side. It's one QB, so I'm not interested in Roethlisberger either. We talked about streaming earlier. You could stream your quarterbacks. There's usually decent quarterbacks on waivers in one QB leagues. I will take that side.
I love Zach Ertz. I mean, I've talked about that a million times. But in this case, I would take the Ben and the four and the Travis Kelce side. Because especially the fact that you say that Devy player is a sophomore now. We don't know anything. Who knows if he's going to play in the NFL ever or whatever. So by the time that he's able to play in the NFL, you've already gotten another year or two of Ben Roethlisberger. You've got Travis Kelce. And who knows about the pick? So I love Zach Ertz. I'd rather have Zach Ertz, but in a trade like this, I'll take Ben and Kelce in the pick.
So, nice. A couple things. Again, it's start one quarterback league.
I don't care. There was one other thing I was going to say. You can always move Ben Roethlisberger for something else, too. If, when you say start one quarterback, say there is another team in that league that needs a quarterback, and if he plays well, you can always move him if you want to. And if those other players are wash, it seems to me that it'd be easier to move him than it would be to move a sophomore running back.
Well, so he'll
nobody's buying Ben in a one QB league.
But you could if the...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I don't care about a sophomore running back, but go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously next year he'll be a junior.
And then the next year he could be McDonald's.
Well, no, after next season he could be in the NFL.
Or not.
He could declare for the draft. Well, I mean, okay, so we could all wake up tomorrow or not. I mean,
well, I'm just saying,
like, there's no guarantee.
How many times have you guys said, oh, this is the best Devy player there is this year? And then within 2 months later, oh, he's the 17th best. And then 1 week later, oh, he's the 20th best. I mean, it happens all the fucking time.
I literally never said that.
Bullshit. Josh Jacobs was supposedly the best running back in this class. And now you're talking, he's like the fifth guy or whatever JDB said a little while ago.
At no point did either myself or John rank Josh Jacobs as our running back one.
I think he's the consensus number one still, isn't he?
Thank you.
Pretty much.
See, Shane?
I don't know.
Blow me.
I never wanted him for his cost, so he was never going to be my one. Well, I was never going to draft him.
I'm just saying
where he was going off the board.
Well, and I'm just saying that's what people were saying. So I'm just saying with the Devy players, it could be all over the place. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I would rather take the player that's getting me the points now than somebody who isn't in the league. So go ahead. What were you going to say?
Because, you know, you're closer to death. I understand that. So you're more like, look, I can't wait 2 years because I, not just jokingly, could be dead tomorrow. I could actually be dead tomorrow. That's how old I am. So
yes,
I get that.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm still kicking around on God's green earth in 3 years when Kylan Hill's tearing up the league.
Or he's the 15th running back on people's lists.
Look, that's always possible, too. But also, I like Zach Ertz. I've always liked Zach Ertz.
Me, too.
I wanted more Zach Ertz in my life. It's hard to argue against Travis Kelce. So.
Wait a second. Is this one of your trades? We never even discussed that. Oh.
When it's a trade alert, it's my f***ing trades.
I have a small Kylan Hill update.
Uh-oh. Okay, go ahead.
He has played 2 seasons already.
Uh-huh.
So everything that says he's a sophomore, it means he's completed 2 years.
Yeah, that's
so what this year he'll be a junior, so he'll be eligible this year.
Okay.
John, does no one listen to me?
No. The confusion is next year. Like, to me, the draft this year is this year. So I'm thinking he's going into his sophomore year. Next year is...
That's what I thought you meant, too.
I'm sorry. He could be in the 2020 class.
Okay. I thought you meant he's going into his sophomore year because you're right. That's already March, almost April. So I thought he was going in as a sophomore.
I mean, all right. Well, look. So you know how some jobs, your fiscal year runs, like, you know what I mean? Like a different time. My years don't go by calendar years. They go by football years, you know?
No, I get what you're saying now.
He should be listed as a junior, not sophomore.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be a different conversation, yes.
Well, you know what? We could tweet at Pro Football Reference and ask them. I think they don't actually do that until the next season kicks off.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so.
When they flip it.
Now
so either way, John's with me. I'm with me.
Okay.
Michael's against me. Hey, listeners, let us know what you think.
Yes.
Or not. Whatever.
They will. So look, the other discussion you wanted to have tonight was we were going to talk about auction drafts, because especially right now, there are all these leagues that are doing their startup drafts. You know, we're in the DFB Invitational with our startup draft, but there's also these auction drafts. And different things happen in auction drafts. Me personally, I would much rather do an auction draft than a snake draft. I love the possibility of being able to get any player that I want. In a snake draft, you're kind of restricted to what the people in front of you take. But in an auction, if you can balance your money the correct way, you can get any player that you want. So the topic that you wanted to bring up, and I'm assuming that it's happened to you in something right now, is about redlining in auction drafts. And I know, JDB, you were asking earlier off air, what exactly is Shane's definition of redlining?
Oh, I don't have a definition because I actually didn't create it.
I'm not saying you did, but what do you mean by
it? Redlining is when I believe it's 90% of that auction time has gone off the board. So typically when there's 2 hours or less left. So Cam Newton is a guy that I had been the high bidder on over the last 3 days. Was there 72 hours in a day? Yeah. No, 72 hours in 3 days. Fun with math again.
God, can you imagine those days? 72 hours?
Yeah, 72 hours in 3 days, and I've been the high bidder for 71 hours and roughly 48 minutes.
Holy shit. First of all,
18 hours. I'm sorry. The auction, you know, the time limit on each bid's 18 hours.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you had a 72-hour time limit.
No, I'm just sorry. Like, every time – so what will happen is I'm literally within –
started before last year.
Every time I'm about a little less than an hour or an hour, somewhere between 40 minutes and an hour and a half left until I get Cam, somebody goes and fucking bumps them up by $1.
I hate
yourselves.
I hate that.
So – my question to you, because, you know I have rage issues, so it could just be me. Would you say that that's okay? That's all part of the game.
I'll say this. I know people, different people have different opinions. There are some people out there that believe that they should be like the money police and say, oh, he shouldn't get that at that price or whatever. There's also other people that legitimately, whether they're at work or for whatever reason, aren't able to log in. So once they do get in, they say, oh shit, I want that guy and he's about to end, and they bid on it. I can understand that. What you're saying, though, it sounds like that it's a repeated offense, that they're waiting until it gets into the red line. And if that's the case, then yeah, that sucks. It would really piss me off if it happened more than, say, two or three times. Then you know somebody's doing it on purpose, which I don't really even understand the reason for that, other than they want to tie up your money and not let you bid on other players. Or for some reason you piss somebody off that they're willing to do that. But I understand the strategy behind it. I just don't particularly like it.
I didn't have a problem with the story until you said it was for one more dollar. just like nickel and diming people, you know, with no time left on the clock, that seems like I would get a little rage-filled also. But I agree with Sipes, though, too, where in these longer drafts where you have all this time, you know, people are at work, they're doing stuff, maybe even forgot, you know, people, oh, that's right, the auction's still on. They log on, they're like, oh, Cam, I could get him for a buck more. So that's one of the problems I haven't liked with doing longer auctions, because it can waver, especially if there are these huge leagues with, you know, people from all over the planet. You know how many leagues are in with guys from England and stuff, they're on a totally different clock. I work graveyard, so people are up at weird different times and, you know, may not be active until these timers start coming to an end. My two other things that Sipes brought up, as far as being the money police, I'm super guilty of that. I'm not going to let anybody get somebody way cheaper than they should be. I mean, as long as it's 15, 10% within kind of what their projected budget should be, I don't have a problem with it. But yeah, where somebody's getting a guy at half the price they should get him, I'm absolutely going to – granted, I'm not going to wait till the last minute.
That's like what I was just going to say. I was just going to say, I get if you're going to do that money police, but are you going to wait till an hour before the auction ends?
But to me – and again, it comes to people live all over the place that do these. But to me, the way to end it, to have less of a problem with it anyway, is – auction drafts, I prefer to do live. I don't mind the snake drafts going nice and slow with the long draft, but with the auctions, you do it live, you know, block out a couple hours where everyone can sit down and do it. And then, you know, if someone wants to outbid you, they're not really, you know, you don't have the feeling like, oh, I just wasted 18 hours sitting on Cam Newton when nobody bid on him. Where if, you know, the clock's 90 seconds, who cares if somebody jumps in with 3 seconds left? You only burnt a minute and a half of your life.
It is the worst. You know, back in the old day, we've talked about this before, especially in my main leagues, we used to do live auction drafts. We'd go to a bar, we'd do something, and those were the best. To do those live things were the best. And then we tried to do it on MFL when we first did our Dynasty League. And for whatever reason, it was too difficult to do something that was like a 90-second clock or whatever, because some people have a problem with their internet or they can't bid or whatever. So we ended up switching it to long form. And it is true. Long form, it's got its advantages, but it also has its disadvantages. And to sit there and wait forever for a player – And everybody else is able to sit back and go, okay, well, should I bid, blah, blah, blah. But the people that do it, the problem I have is, especially in my home league, there's a couple guys that will purposely do it just to fuck with you. They'll wait till the last, like you say, redlining just to do it. And I just hate that. And to me, that's just annoying. And it's childish or whatever.
Are either you guys in John Bosch's new Fog of War league?
No, I wasn't invited to that league.
No, I'm in.
For bringing that up.
So welcome everybody. Welcome everything is fine one. But go ahead.
Yeah, a friend of mine named Jeremy Rowan, I believe, is in there too. But he,
oh yeah, I know Jeremy. Yeah, he's a good guy.
That league is going to be a blind bid auction.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, FF Ghost just wrote about that in DLF. I think it was last week, or I don't know. My weeks get all f***ed up. So I read it in the last few.
Wait.
We'll say the last week.
It's a blind bid auction?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So how and as a commissioner.
There's four copies of each player.
Oh, also. My God. As a commissioner, how the hell is he going to handle that?
Well, you just set it up.
Sounds like his problem.
Yeah, that's not our problem.
Well, no, that's Listen, I commission a lot of auctions and stuff. I don't know how they're going to handle a four-copy blind bid auction. Holy shit.
I don't know.
Each day, I think we're putting eight players up for bid. So then the following day, the bids will process on those eight players.
Eight
will be nominated.
Okay,
now,
I see
each,
what you're saying.
Each of those eight being nominated can be... four copies of each will be taken.
Wow.
So in the event that only three people bid on somebody, the one solo copy goes back in the pool. So someone else can keep, you know, if Tyreek Hill keeps only three people bid on him, he could fall back and then there's only one copy left. Yeah, it sounds like Bosch's problem.
Yeah, I guess so. It is pretty funny with John because every one of these leagues, I hear different little stories about all these different things and it actually makes it fun. But wow, that sounds like... a very complicated one. So Shane,
we had just opened trades in that league yesterday, and in the first 7 hours, we had 27 trades just for draft picks and blind bid money.
I saw that on Twitter.
That's hilarious.
Email was just buried.
That's pretty funny. So Shane, what was it that you felt then? Because you obviously brought this up. So what did happen with Cam Newton, or is he still on the board?
Here's the thing. So I don't even know if it's the same guy at this point. I just assume it is. Because I go blind with rage every time it keeps happening. So there's one guy I think it is. So basically, he's my fucking enemy for life. I'm going to do everything I can to fuck this dude in this league. And you know what? He might only been the last guy that upbid me. For all I know, it was like six different guys. But for whatever reason, I keep thinking it's the same guy. So I'm going to get him.
You know, it is funny because there are some leagues where it depends on the setting that you set where you cannot see who it is who's bidding. So that would be funny. Or maybe you can only see the last person. You know, the other thought that I just had while you were saying that is sometimes there are people that will do it, like you just said, because you have a vendetta or you want to go after that guy and they'll do it. There's also other people that do it in a, like it's their strategy to make it so that you are so caught up in that player and so obsessed and that you're going to bid $1 more, then that's going to wrap your money up in that player. And then in the meantime, they can bid on some other players. So I can understand if that's their strategy. It just sucks as a strategy against you.
So what you're saying is I should confront him.
I don't know if that's what I said, but well, either way, you know, I still, regardless of all those problems, I still believe that auction is the best way to draft. I would much rather do an auction than a snake.
Auctions are awesome, except I will say this. The end of auction drafts are some of the saddest moments of your life.
Yeah.
when you're like, oh, wait, I have to nominate like five more players. I have $6 left. And you're like, this guy's not even in the fucking league. Like, you're choosing, like, between DeAndre Washington and, I don't know, Cam Meredith or Rashard Perryman. And you're like, I have to, because I have to come out of this draft with 22 players. So I can't even be like, oh, fuck this, I'm done. You have to take an affirmative action and go, yes, I would like to pick up DeAndre Washington and add him to my roster.
Well, let me ask you. Sad. You know, what you just said actually is the last point I want to make with that. I have done auctions for years, and every time I ever do it, I have a spreadsheet on my computer that I put in the money and I move the players around and I know how much money I have. So usually by the end of the auction, I have X amount of spots left and X amount of people. Do you do an auction? Do you just fly on the seat of your pants, or do you have some kind of way of managing your money while you're doing your auction?
I mean, I generally have a, and this is, you know, kind of like I do with most drafts, I have what I want to do, and players that I want to target. And I know there's a limit that I probably won't exceed, depending on how the rest of the auction draft goes. It's going to depend on if I get a couple steals and things like that. Like, you know, if I get Carson Wentz in a super flex for $300 less than I think he should go off the board for, just for an example, in this league, I think Russ Wilson went off the board for like $205, and right now I'm at $350 on Cam.
Oh wow!
Because it's a, well, it's a dispersal super flex.
Okay.
So, and I have no other quarterback. So if I don't get Cam, I'm looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick, Nate Sudfeld. I think I have Colt McCoy. Like, I got a bunch of backups. You know what I mean? I tend to just look for how it's going to decide how I need to react first. You know, there's obviously the things that I like to do is just throw the players out there that are overhyped that I don't really want or I'm not willing to pay for, and hoping that someone's just going to throw out some ridiculous bid and waste their money on them.
What about you, John? Do you have any kind of spreadsheet or any kind of way of tracking it?
I mean, I know what about the guys should be going for. So to me, you know, the players I like, I'll put a little, you know, window around that. So, you know, I go off like a $200 total budget in most of the auctions I do. So, you know, if Barkley's supposed to be, off the top of my head, I have no idea, but let's say a $55 or $60 player, you know, I'll move that around $5 on each side. And if I could get him a little cheaper, great. If I get him a little more, but then I adjust everybody else on my board accordingly. So if I end up overspending on him, then everybody else that I'm kind of targeting, I bump down a buck or two. And then if I get somebody else a little cheaper, I'll bump everybody back up to right in the middle where I thought they should be. So I have a little wiggle room, and then, you know, till I get to the end of the draft, like Shane said, and I'm nominating Cam Meredith, I'm disgusted with myself.
It is funny. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be discussed about an auction, and maybe in the future we'll do a whole show about it or something, because there's a lot of tips that you can do, you know?
If we do that, we definitely need to get John Bosch on the show. Yeah. John is John actually, I think, might have been one of the first auction leagues I was in. Was a John Bosch league.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing auction for about probably 15 years. That's what we did before we did Dynasty and since we've done Dynasty. So to me, that's the best way to do it. So before we wrap everything up, we need to hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
All right. And hey, guys, before we do get off the air for the evening, I just want to remind everyone, go become a patron. I actually just dropped an article on there. Jesus, I don't know, yesterday or the day before, I forget, breaking down a rookie draft I did. And some of the comments I've gotten on it were, hey, Shane, this was really helpful. That was a direct quote, I think, something to that effect. But yeah, so I just broke down a rookie draft, a couple of the trades, a little strategy, threw that in there for our patrons because our patrons rock. So go become a patron. You can get written content. You always get the uncensored version of this show. You get bonus podcasts damn near every week, just about for the last 30 weeks. Plus, you get to come hang out with us in our GroupMe chat, which is a fucking riot and a good time. And, you know, we just lost a patron today, unfortunately, to appendix surgery. Rest in peace. So we need to fill that spot.
No.
So go become a patron because it's awesome and it's worth it. Ask any of our other patrons.
It is true. That chat is awesome. And I have good news. I did just see that Larry Monkey just sent a message in the GroupMe chat saying he's out of surgery and everything's good. And the HQ1 team is his to stay. So glad that everything worked out for him. So, hey, and also check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ, and check out our iTunes. You know, give us a rate and review. We love you guys over there, and we'd love to get reviews. Shane, you know, we're almost up to our 75th episode, you know, so we might have some big episode coming up at 75. And John, I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you for playing along where we kind of pretended that you've been here for 68 episodes. Jeremy was away on his family vacation, and he will be back next week. But we really appreciate you coming in and filling in this week. Is there anything you want to promote or anything you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Yeah, Jeremy's a slacker, and I'm glad I could come in and pick up his dead weight. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Jabari22. Catch my writing at Dynasty Football Factory. I got a couple things coming out in the next few weeks here. And you can check out my podcast at The Fantasy 40 on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podbean.
You're also on Pod Paradise.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. I do want to
check out Pod Paradise.
I do want to say also, when we were in Vegas, you jumped in for Jeremy in Vegas too, and you were making jokes that I'm taking over his spot. So today we wanted to have you take over his spot. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, go become a patron. Deuces.
Bye.